Welcome back, 1221, 1260 WRC, Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And on this Friday afternoon, I want to check in with Tammy Bruce, radio talk show host, Fox News and PJTV contributor, a New York Times best-selling author, and, of course, a Washington Times columnist. Raising a police state army, your friendly neighborhood cop, is to be a heavily armed combat soldier. I got to tell you something, Tammy. I read this and I thought, well, at least it's good to know that some people in America are recognizing the changes that are happening before our very eyes and ears.
Yeah, hey, it's great to be back with you, Andy. And one of my, I think I start the column with something I think is very important. There's so many important stories these days internationally. And we, you know, we only have a certain amount of attention, I think, and it can be overwhelming. But what we shouldn't miss is what is transpiring here on the domestic scene. And it also tells you, look, I'd love to see really heavily armored Americans, and I'd love to see them in some other country. I don't want to see them in this country.
Yeah, I'm with you. Did the NSA snooping open some of these eyes that I was mentioning?
Yeah, you know, I think so. I think that the issue becomes, in this regard, the nature of what Americans are seeing, what the government is capable of doing, and also, of course, we can't dismiss the leaks by Edward Snowden, the importance of, even to some degree, what Julian Assange has done in reminding people that, at least in their actions, that there are things going on that aren't necessarily being shared with us directly, and then the things that are happening, like with getting all this material to local police forces, that maybe we should question the judgment of government sometimes and the decisions they're making, that that's a healthy thing, and it's an important thing.
Yeah. Should we now assume that everything we say and do could be monitored?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, when we sign on to the Internet with our smartphones, we've given up willingly a great deal our privacy. And the moment we did that, when we were willing to get strangers on the Internet like Amazon or other companies because it made our lives easier, when we were willing to give them all kinds of information about ourselves, we effectively were sending a little bit of a signal to the government that they are welcome to do it. But this is why we don't have a direct democracy, that the government then should recognize that even though we are choosing on occasion to give our personal information to certain entities, it does not mean we want the government spying on us. It's not necessarily an acquiescence to losing all of our privacy. At this point, we have to proceed as though we have absolutely no personal privacy. That, of course, is a part of being a sovereign. We should demand that. The moment we give that up, it means that we've agreed that the government is everything, that the government's the living entity, and that it can do as it pleases. We've got to stand up against that. I hope that, you know, in our conversations, in media, in journalists can have to address this. The media is not doing its job at this point, individuals like you are, but it's a very important thing to remind the American people to not just take it passively as though this is something we have to deal with and accept. It's not.
You know, it brings me to lawmakers. You would think that more would be involved in protecting our rights, but it seems like sometimes when you give them political power, they almost turn on the very people that elected them. And a good case in point would be something that just happened recently in Virginia. Eric Cantor voted out. And according to some constituents, I heard it from more than one. In fact, I have audio from him. He became too big for his britches, basically.
Well, you know, this is what happens. The bigger government gets, the more the individual citizen is looked at as like a number on a piece of paper. And then the government, in order to explain its bigness, has to determine that for some reason they must be better than the average citizen. The moment the politician in the system believes that it's better than the people that elected them, they have to, in a way, in order to justify government being so big, because government's supposed to help us run our lives, and if we can't run our own lives, we must be sad, pathetic little people who need someone else smarter than us to tell us what to do. And then politicians begin to believe their own PR. They begin to tell themselves that they are the better ones, and they begin to act accordingly. What happened in the 7th District of Virginia as a result is very important. It is an underestimation of the public's intelligence and of their intentions and of what we're willing to put up with. So I think that was a really nice shot across the bow. At the same time, when you look at, though, what's transpiring in the meantime, but the message of militarizing local police forces has an impact psychologically on the average citizen when they see it, but it also has an impact on the average policeman who probably thinks, well, if I've got a silencer and a machine gun, there must be a reason for that, and it's not because I'm in Baghdad. You know, you might be in downtown Des Moines, and then you begin to look, you have law enforcement beginning to look funny at the average citizen. All of this conditions our attitudes towards each other, and I think it's very dangerous at this point.
Yeah, and then you have the left looking upon those who point this kind of stuff out, why we see so many government agencies with their own police forces, why the government agencies are buying up large quantities of ammo. All of a sudden, you're a conspiracy theorist. You're a wacko. You're an extremist because you're pointing this stuff out.
Right, and look, I mean, the government was supposed to have one police agency, and that was the U.S. Marshal. We now have agencies with their own mini police departments and SWAT teams. Why? You know, why does the National Oceanic Atmospheric Association need a SWAT team? You know, why does the Bureau of Land Management need a SWAT team? Why does the Energy Department need a SWAT team? You know, so they have all of these little fiefdoms with their own little departments and armed individuals, and Americans haven't stopped to ask why this has been developed. So we not only need to recognize that it's occurred, but we need to also make political choices that will help us reverse these. And this is a liberal value, and it is a conservative value. This is also why there's attempts to continue to divide us. There's many things we all agree on when it comes to what we need to do, and this is one of them.
Mm-hmm. You know, it makes me think back to Janet Napolitano when someone asked her about buying 2 million rounds of ammo for some department, and she said, "Oh, yeah, that's just normal."
Well, yeah, see, and it becomes normal when if it's billions of rounds of ammunition. You can argue that maybe for the Department of Homeland Security, but then you have to ask why. You don't need billions of rounds of ammunition to deal with the Sarnia brothers. You just need to act on the intelligence you already have.
Yeah.
These are things that should concern everyone. And again, with all the international news, it's very important news. But the book that actually is the crux of my column is Police State USA by Cheryl Chumley, who's a reporter at the Washington Times. An excellent book, an important book that lays it all out what's happening. And I think it's a must-read for everybody this summer.
Yep. All right. Well, listen, have a wonderful weekend in spite of all this going on in our wacky world.
Thank you,
dear. And perhaps you and I will speak again next week.
We shall. Thank you so much, Andy. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care. Tammy Bruce, radio talk show host and Fox News contributor, best-selling author, Washington Times columnist. Man, a lot of stuff on the resume. Me? Just a radio guy. Anyway, check out her column, Raising a Police State Army. Your friendly neighborhood cop is to be a heavily armed combat soldier. Yeah, that's good. All right, coming up. Oh, it's almost time for this week's Golden Hammer Award. Yes, it's a weekly award. Handed out for waste, fraud, and abuse, most of the time within our government. And Philip Schwartz will be along, investigative reporter here at the Washington Times, in just a couple of minutes. About 12:45, we head to the White House to check in with reporter Dave Boyer. The president sending 300 more into Iraq, but they're advisors. I'm going to ask Dave what those advisors will be advising. Don't go away.